On this episode of Traveling with a Mouse, we are going to go through Liberty Square. That's coming up next on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode 63 of Traveling with a Mouse. I am your host, John Martin, and I am joined by my co-host, Adam Brown.
That is me.
That is you. That's my line, or it used to be.
Yeah, it is. That's how we used to do.
We've evolved.
Yes. The shoe's on the other foot
time
now.
Time has gone on. So this is Friday, February the 9th, and we're going to be talking or walking through, as we've been doing in our series of lands and covering them in great detail in some cases, right?
I would think so.
Attractions, shops, restaurants, giving our take on each of these things. Liberty Square is one of those. We're probably going to either be a really short episode or we're going to have to stretch it out some, which I think we might be able to do just looking at
this.
I'm
sure we can. We always end up doing that.
We always seem to go too long on most of the others, but Liberty Square, as we mentioned, is kind of a smaller section. In fact, Frontierland just kind of blends into it more so than the other lands do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the transition from Adventureland to Frontierland is pretty good, but I'd say the transition from Frontierland to Liberty Square is particularly subtle.
Yeah, subtle's a good word. Yeah, there's different areas, like Haunted Mansion's a different time period than the main area, and then you flow into Frontierland, which is more of the 1800s, so it's a little bit sort of traveling through time as you walk through there.
Yes.
In a way.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to mention at the beginning of this segment, because I actually did in the previous episode mention the Mike Fink keelboats.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually listed as Liberty Square, apparently, as a former attraction. That's why I couldn't find them initially. So, and I understand that because the docking station actually was right there in front of Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense that it was an actual Liberty Square attraction once upon a time. So
yes, technically. And I did mention that in the episode, by the way.
Oh.
I said it was technically a Liberty Square attraction, but I mean, anything on Rivers of America, you can consider both, I think.
Yeah, and because I think we may have mentioned the riverboat as well, when it's actually the Liberty Square riverboat, or the Mark Twain.
Right.
Is it actually called the Mark Twain in Disney World? I thought maybe that's a Disneyland.
Yeah, Disneyland is the Mark Twain, and Disney World it's the Liberty Bell. Currently, that's the current boat, is the Liberty Bell.
The Liberty Bell. Yes, that's right. I do remember that now. I kind of like taking a little stroll or a little ride around on that. I mean, it's one of those things that I had not done in quite some time until 15 again was the second time. Or not second time, but the first time I had done it in quite a while.
Yes, and we did this last summer, or technically spring, but it was June, early June of last year, and we enjoyed it. I talked about this on a previous episode. We stayed in the interior room of the boat, which is fun. I actually enjoy exploring the ship a little bit. It's kind of a cool, or boat, I should say.
I think we said the same thing about the riverboat. That was one of those things we tried when we were traveling with our pregnant spouses.
Yes.
So,
it's a good place to sit.
Actually a good one. Yeah. I'm going to say it's a pretty good one to take in whenever you're traveling in that condition.
Yes.
Or traveling with someone in that condition.
Ride. You can take it easy, like a slow ride.
Oh, exactly.
Not quite that though. No fog hat, but.
The riverboat, however, is not the original one at the Magic Kingdom Park.
Mm-hmm.
There was a riverboat called the Admiral Joe Fowler Riverboat, which was named after Joe Fowler, a retired Navy Admiral, who was actually in charge of construction of both the Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
The strange part of this is what where it comes up.
Yeah.
The Admiral Joe Feller riverboat hadn't entered service yet until a day later after the Magic Kingdom Park opened on October 1st, 1971. In the fall of 1980, the riverboat was dropped from the crane attempting to lift it into the dry dock area for refurbishment, and its hull was completely destroyed beyond repair. Mm. So the damaged riverboat was taken to a boneyard for a while, being broken up for scrap. After determining that the Magic Kingdom no longer needed two riverboats on the rivers of America, it had operated for less than 10 years, unlike the other riverboats in every Disney parks. The riverboat's whistle was refitted to the Walt Disney World Railroad's number 4 Roy O. Disney steam locomotive, and its steam engine machinery was shipped to Tokyo Disneyland to become the workings of the park's Mark Twain riverboat. So there's a connection there.
Yeah.
In 1999, the Magic Kingdom 1 ferry, you know, the one that goes across Seven Seas Lagoon, mm-hmm. from Transportation Ticket Center to Magic Kingdom, they decided to rename it the Admiral Joe Fowler, which is what it's called currently,
yeah.
as far as I know. I mm-hmm. haven't really heard him say, but I'm pretty sure it's on the boat.
Yeah.
In his honor. So, neat Very little cool. trivia there.
Yeah, and
concerning.
I've heard Disneyland people make fun of the Liberty Bell because it only has one smokestack. But the Admiral Joe Fowler was the boat that actually had the two smokestacks like the Mark Twain at Disneyland. So, Magic Kingdom did have one, but of course, as you just said, this one was the one that was destroyed by accident.
Yeah, they seem to have... Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern here. They seem to have bad mojo or whatever when it comes to the boats in this particular body of water.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hmm. And as we mentioned in an earlier episode this in January about the upcoming closures and stuff, the Liberty Bell is closed. I believe it's already closed and will be closed through June, I think. So let's hope they don't drop this one off the crane and we have no Liberty Bell. That would suck.
Yeah, we'll have no boats.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I say this body of water. I mean, it's the same general area, but the keelboat incident that we referred to in the last episode actually happened in Disneyland. So it's not the same body of water. But they seem to have issues in this general section, we'll say, of the park, in both parks.
Yeah, and what, the water is only like 2 feet deep or something in Rivers of America?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not very deep because I've seen it drained before. I've definitely seen pictures of it drained before. Not very deep at all.
No.
So
can't be that big.
I'm pretty sure if you jumped into it, you could probably stand. Well, I don't know about everybody, but some could stand.
But I have to look for this now, for the train now, because, you know, I don't really pay attention to the names of the trains, but now... looking for train number 4, the Roy O. Disney train at Magic Kingdom. I have to go there just so I can hear the whistle again and see how it sounds, if it sounds more like the old riverboat, or does it sound more like the train, or do they both sound the same? I don't know. But I'm curious now to see if it's any different sounding than the other trains.
No, I mean, it did say that's what they did then. There may have been some adjustments made since then, so that I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping it's still the same. That would be nice to have still. But
yeah. All right. So covering that part as far as attractions, that pretty much covered both a former and current Liberty Square attraction. So this is the next one I'm going to bring up here, and this is something I've not actually seen, but it's had some popularity, is what they have currently, the Muppets Present Great Moments in American History.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched this?
I did watch it this last time. We were able to catch the first show of the day one morning. And it's fun. I enjoy the Muppets, so it's a neat show. I think it blocks the pathway a lot, though. But if you're not trying to get through Liberty Square to go somewhere else, it's not a big deal. But so it's not a heavily trafficked area, but it's still right in the middle of the pathway where it can be a traffic jam when they're doing the show, but it's only like 10 minutes or so. I don't even think it's that long. but it's entertaining.
Yeah. The info I'm looking at says 7 to 11 minutes, so I guess I don't know what that, how it, I guess that,
this probably,
I don't
know depends.
Whether there's a 4-minute variance.
I think there's only two shows, right? I know the Paul Revere one is the one I saw, but I know on YouTube they had another one.
The Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And it's consistent, the show is, because they list, at least here anyway, the voice cast, and the voice of Kermit the Frog is Steve Whitmire, so I'm pretty sure that's recorded.
Yes, they recorded it before they fired him.
Yes. So if you want to hear Steve Whitmire, go to Liberty Square in the Magic Kingdom and watch the Muppets present Great Moments in American History.
My favorite,
it's probably the only place in the park.
My favorite part of it is Sam Eagle singing the, like the song is like Great Moments in History, but just the American parts, something like that. So of course you kind of chuckle at that because it's Sam Eagle, but
yes,
it's pretty funny.
I always love his lines.
Yes.
It's called A Tribute to All Nations, but Mostly America.
Exactly, yeah. So they stay true to the characters. It's pretty funny.
Yes.
So
I like it. At the end, he's like, it's kind of like how our shows go sometimes. Yes, it's a glorious 3-hour finale.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yes.
And to which we totally ignore the fact that we only have a minute and a half.
Right.
Just like him. Just like Sam.
But if people out there want to see this show like we did in the morning, I would recommend going to, well, here's what we did. I don't think I would recommend this because it can get really busy, but we went to Sleepy Hollow, got our little waffle breakfast sandwiches, and sat over there in the little seating area and waited for the showtime to start. And as soon as we were done eating, we just walked right over, and that's where the show is, so. Works out.
Yeah, I've been meaning, speaking when you mentioned that, I guess we're kind of segueing just for a minute at least anyway to the restaurant section.
Yeah.
We can come back to attractions.
Sure.
In just a moment.
Just skip around.
We can skip around. When you mentioned Sleepy Hollow, ever since they had the waffle sandwiches there, I've been wanting to go there, but it's been kind of one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I want to wait quite as long as I may have to here at the times that I've been there, you know. It could be the timing as far as time of day, too. Am I really that hungry? Because they look huge.
Yeah. We waited for a few minutes, and I think we were at the tail end of a early morning magic hour when we ended up getting breakfast.
I mean, I feel like we could, when I look at them, I feel like I said, depending on the time of day, how hungry and everything, I feel like we could split one amongst my family.
Yeah. I'm usually hungry enough where I want my own, but my wife and son can share one. Yeah.
I mean, I've done that before. I've shared food at Disney because of just the fact that, you know,
well,
most of the stuff is more than I really need in the first place.
Yeah, well, still. I mean, when we're doing food and wine and stuff, those kind of, they're small plates. Yeah. We'll share them. But we'll both get something and try each other's stuff and, you know, share.
Partially for price, too, right?
Yes, it is partially for price. But we'll get a lot of different things and try it just because we want to try different things. So,
yeah, when I look at it and I see the, what is it, the hazelnut one?
Mm.
The fresh fruit waffle sandwich served with chocolate hazelnut spread.
Basically,
I mean, it just looks
Nutella,
really
basically.
Good and it looks... Yeah.
I just don't want to say
this
that.
This looks huge.
They were pretty sizable. I remember that. I think we ended up getting two, and then we split it amongst, but I ended up eating, like, a whole one overall.
And it looks like they, among the entrees, also, they have a Mickey waffle served with strawberries and whipped cream, a funnel cake, which is also a popular one, strawberries and whipped cream. Breakfast, they have a breakfast egg and cheese waffle. Is that the one you had, or no?
Yeah, that's the one.
They actually have a pretzel dog, all beef. The one that is appealing to me, really, and ever since I tried it, I've kind of grown to like this combination. It says the sweet and spicy chicken waffle sandwich.
Yeah, no, I love chicken and waffles, so yeah.
I mean, ever since I tried it, people think it's kind of odd to, I mean, whenever they see it, but I'm like, it's really good. You should try this combination. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it.
There's something about the sweetness of, like, the syrup and the savoriness of the chicken and then the fluffiness of the waffle. It's just a great combo.
Yeah, it's like a chicken sandwich with syrup.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. Actually, when you say it that way.
That doesn't sound... That doesn't sound very appetizing. Strike that. Reverse it.
Yeah, there's something about the waffle that makes it better. I don't know why.
But anyway.
Is there syrup and is there sugar and syrup? Then yes.
Yeah. Anyway. That's the way I feel lately. How much sleep did you get? A full 45 minutes or something like that. Or whatever he says. I forgot what he says.
Yeah, basically that's what he said, yeah. I slept great. You got a full 45 minutes. Yeah. Hashtag anyway. Parenthood.
Yes. So, before we get to the rest of the attractions, let's stay with the food for a moment. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quick service lately, Columbia Harbor House.
Yeah.
Have you been there recently, or has it been a while, or?
It was recent. It was it was in June. We did like a kind of a dinner there, just a quick bite to eat kind of thing. I don't remember. I got a sandwich. I just remember. I think it was a tuna sandwich. It was pretty good. You know, nothing spectacular, but it was good.
I was trying to think the last time I've been there. I think it's within the last 5 years. I know that.
Yeah.
That I've actually eaten there.
I think the theming is better to me than the food, necessarily. Going in there just to look around is fun.
Yeah, but it's good food, too, though, as far as... I mean, it's something... I don't know. All of the...
It's better than the Cosmic Rays.
All the quick service locations are kind of unique to a certain cuisine.
Yeah.
And this one's like your...
It's got a lot of fish.
You know, your Long John Silver, Captain D's fix.
Okay.
Type, I don't know, because you get stuff similar to that.
Yes.
But better.
I got a tuna sandwich. It was good. I can't say it was amazing, but it, you know, how great can a tuna sandwich be?
I don't know. I hate tuna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of tuna. However, I will get grilled salmon, which I've had here before, and that was good. I believe I've had the chowder, because I like clam chowder. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I've had like the plate that has the fried fish is probably either the Land and Sea Trio I think it's either Land and Sea Trio or the combination platter. It's probably the combination platter that I had, but it was good. This item right here is appealing to me. It may not be to some, but the shrimp macaroni and cheese sounds good to me.
I think that's what my wife got now that I'm thinking of it. I knew it was something with mac and cheese. So I think that's what she got.
Yeah, that sounds good. Butter poached shrimp served over macaroni and cheese. I like the sound of that. I may have to go try that one day.
The only thing I remember was she was not impressed with the mac and cheese. It was very, what do you call it, Kraft-esque.
Very crafty.
It was very similar to like Kraft mac and cheese versus like good old handmade mac and cheese, you know. It had that rubbery, cheesy feel to it, but anyway. That's all I remember, she said.
And however, as far as food goes in Liberty Square, the coup de grace.
Oh, yes.
And one of the best table service, and right now probably my personal favorite in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
As far as table service goes. And that is Liberty Tree Tavern.
Indeed. Yeah.
Would you say this is your current favorite in
Magic Kingdom? I think it is. As far as table service, I mean... People want to talk about Be Our Guest, but they can keep it. I think this is way better food.
I don't know. I don't know if it's because of the hype, maybe, around Be Our Guest, but it didn't live up. I mean, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I can't think of what you call it, the croque monsieur, basically the ham sandwich item.
Yes.
That was really good in Be Our Guest to me.
Yep.
At lunch. I've not had breakfast or dinner. But the lunch I've had, and that sandwich was good. The turkey, now, to be fair, the turkey that my wife had and my mother, who is with us, also had, was they got theirs dry because they didn't want mayo. And gosh, that was, I tried it. I mean, it was huge, but man, I don't know how you could swallow without, without having something on it.
Yeah, I'd be drowning that stuff in mayo.
Me. It needed something.
Yeah, but I love mayonnaise, so I would have put,
I don't think it was, yeah. Even with something like mayonnaise on it, though, I don't think it would have compared to the ham sandwich, essentially.
Or the turkey that is at Liberty's Tree Tavern. The turkey is so good.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah. Do you have the menu handy where they tell you what's on it? Because I know they give you a trio of meats.
I do. The restaurant has a colonial theme, specifically that of New England. It includes tavern ham, pot roast, turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You can even get a cheeseburger if you want it. Interesting. Yes. And Boston cream pie is amongst those things. Let me give you the full rundown of things you can get there. Because it is served
family
style. That's at dinner, though, only, I think. Isn't it different? Or maybe they change it.
I'm not sure. I've only had dinner there twice, so I've not had lunch there yet.
I think they changed it because it looks... No, it's different. It's a little different. It's a buffet style at lunch. So.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah. Interesting. I've not had lunch there.
But the dinner, being, as I said, family style, the entree is the Patriot's platter. It's roasted turkey breast, pot roast, carved pork roast, mashed potatoes, seasonal vegetables, herb stuffing, and house-made macaroni and cheese, which is really good, by the way. But I think the turkey was probably one of my favorites of the meats.
Yeah, I think the turkey and the beef, if I remember right. Was it roast beef? Oh, so good. So, so good. And
the dessert.
Yeah.
The ooey-gooey toffee cake.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Very good. Yes.
The one side that we had to get more of, because, you know, just three of us, and one of us was a four-year-old, didn't really, you know, devour all of the sides, because these are pretty good portions they give you for, but you can always get more if you eat it, but the one that we got more of was the mashed potatoes, because I thought they were fantastic. I loved them. So, I could have eaten, like, 8 plates of those mashed potatoes. They were so good.
Yes, as I was mentioning, the lunch, the difference on lunch is they have the same that we just mentioned in an all-you-care-to-eat, you know, buffet. But you also have options at lunch to have different things. You have some appetizers, which are crab artichoke and spinach dip for two for $15. Sweet corn fritters with house-made pepper jelly. Glen clam chowder. The entrees that you can get besides that, one of them is a fish and chips, tavern batter fish and chips.
Yeah.
Tavern keeper's favorite, which is pot roast served with mashed potatoes and garden vegetables. There are two dishes that are called freedom pasta. One's with grilled chicken and one's with sauteed shrimp. Colony salad. And then they also have an Angus Chuck cheeseburger there during lunch. So that's where that came in. Boston cream pie is also available during that time as well, if you prefer to have that over the ooey gooey toffee cake.
What was the price for the dinner menu? Sorry, I was...
The price for the dinner?
Was it $35 for an adult?
I think it's right.
Okay. Because that doesn't seem that bad to me.
Right. No, it's about average, really.
Yeah, I mean, for a Disney price, that's not terrible for a dinner.
It's average.
Yeah.
But it's definitely average for the family style.
Yeah, come hungry and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
That's not a bad price.
Exactly. Let's see. $34.99 for adult.
Yeah. And I think kids are, what, $18.99 or $20-something, something like that, if I remember right.
I don't see that one listed right here.
I think for the three of us, it ended up being like $100 with tip. It was maybe $110, something like that. I don't remember, but
for Disney,
that's not bad for Disney. Yeah. For a especially really good for, meal,
especially when you can gorge yourself in there.
Right. You could do this, or you go to Cosmic Rays and then, you know, throw up later, Or you could eat here and have a good meal.
Right.
Just saying.
Okay, moving along. Let's go back to... real quick, let's just cover the shopping.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me over here as the only ones I've really been in, truthfully, I mean, the portrait gallery is kind of cut. It's just like it sounds. That's where they go and they actually make your, you know, like the outline of you type portrait from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Heritage House. I'm not really sure what's in Heritage House. I can't even know if I've been in there. Have you been in Heritage House?
I don't really know. I don't remember, to be honest, though, what was in there. Right. I'm sure I've been in it at some point. I just don't remember.
Right.
I remember as a kid going into one of these shops, and they had president-related stuff, because as a kid, I bought, like, some gold coins that were, well, not really gold coins, but they were gold coins that had presidential stuff on them, because I was into presidents for a while when I was a kid, when I was, like, 7 or 8. But I don't think that store exists anymore. But it was there in the early 90s.
Well, maybe it was right outside Hall of Presidents.
That's probably what I was thinking, but I don't know what store, if they have one. I don't think they have one, right? Anymore. A store that has maybe any president, Hall of President related stuff.
Yeah, I really don't know. I kind of haven't really been close enough to the Hall of Presidents building in 20 years, so...
We sat in there. Actually, really quickly, if you need a place to sit, you can go into the Hall of Presidents, the rotunda area, the pre-show, quote-unquote, area, and there's some seating in there. We actually did that, took a break. So,
did you? Mm-hmm. You didn't. Then you didn't go in the attraction.
No, actually, it was down. The time, was it? Yeah, I'm trying to remember if it was... Yeah, I guess last time it was down. No. This was before, because they don't even let you in there when the attraction was down. So this had to be before, this was back in 2015, but I think the show was, for whatever reason, it was down at the time. Anyway.
Gotcha.
This was like 2015.
Okay, so let's get to the good stuff as far as the shops go. To me, I think, even though it's kind of small, as you pointed out, the old Christmas shop, I think, is good.
Yeah, it's a cool, cute shop.
I like going through there.
Yeah.
Probably not as much as the... Christmas shop. There's the one near Fantasyland, isn't it? Don't they still have the Christmas shop there? Maybe they don't. Maybe they did away with it.
I don't know, but you can get Christmas ornaments and stuff other places, especially around Christmas time. You can get them just about anywhere. But
the one thing, this is one of those that's a Christmas shop year-round, just like they have at the studios, and that's about it, because I don't think they have an all-around Christmas shop anywhere else. Then the coup de grace of the shops over there to me, just because it has very unique and very cool merchandise, and it's kind of small in itself as well, but Memento Mori, the Haunted Mansion store, basically.
Yeah.
It's just got really neat, if you want your exclusive, I guess. I don't know if you want to call it exclusive, but unique Haunted Mansion merchandise, this is where you go. I think some people miss this one, though. I don't know why, or maybe it's the name.
But, yeah, I think because you don't, like, walk directly into it when you're walking out of Haunted Mansion. You have to kind of go around the corner, and it's there. So maybe people don't recognize it.
But it's really, it's like just past the pet cemetery there.
Yeah.
It's to the left.
Yeah.
So if you're exiting the Haunted Mansion and you stay close to the wall, I guess, and see the pet cemetery, and then you'll see Memento Mori.
Yeah. The cool thing, I've been tempted to do this when I go in there, because I see that you can, like, buy your own, like, Haunted Mansion style portrait of yourself. I've wanted to do that, but for one, my wife would not let me hang that anywhere in our house, but for another, it looks cool, though, and I can't remember, I didn't think it was too pricey, but I just haven't wanted to spend that kind of money on something that I would never be allowed to hang in my house, but...
Not even in the man cave?
Well, whenever I get one of those, maybe I will. Need to get me one of those.
Ah, yes. Let's see.
That would be cool, though.
Yes, it would.
Neat.
All right, so let's move along.
Yeah.
We still have two attractions left to cover. The Hall of Presidents. We didn't actually. We just mentioned it, but
yes.
I don't really know what to say about the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, I know they've spruced it up and they've made it look better and all this stuff over the years, but it's essentially been the same show for quite some time. The only difference being that they put the sitting president in the show with a speaking role.
Changes. Yeah, they've switched narrators because before it was Morgan Freeman, and then I don't remember, I can't think of who it was. It's an ABC... you know, talent that they, it seems like in anybody who's on an ABC TV show gets like drafted to, in their contract, they have to do Disney related voiceover or some other work at some point. That's required of all ABC employees. But I can't remember who it is, but she's on some ABC show and I believe she's doing the voiceover now of Hall of Presidents, if I'm remembering that correctly. But, yeah, well, I don't think the show's changed that much.
No, I mean, it's had a few things done to the scenery, I guess. But, I mean, as far as what you're doing, it's still kind of the same thing. They did, I think every time that they've changed, ever since they decided to do the sitting president speaking, I think they have changed the narrator just about every time, if I'm not mistaken. Every time that there's been a
new seems like it.
President elected. And it also, I guess it's just a weird coincidence, but ever since I decided to do this, every president has served two terms since this time. Yeah. So I don't know if there's any connection there or not. So it kind of works out for Disney. They only have to change it every 8 years. So.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would go back to the original show, even though I personally don't remember the original show because it was before my time. But when I looked back on it. Wasn't really
before your time.
Well, I mean, okay, I don't remember anything prior to Clinton being the president.
I was going to say, the original show went from 71 to 93.
Yeah, but we probably saw it, I just don't remember it. I remember it from Clinton onward, which I think Clinton was the only one I actually saw. I'm just saying, I think that's the only one.
That is for me.
I think so.
Actually, in the original, George Washington, he was voiced by Paul Frees.
Yeah.
And, Benjamin Franklin are heard making speeches to the convention. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was that little bit different. Yeah, I think it would be neat for them to do something with the presidents of the past, maybe. Have them have speaking roles sometimes. That would probably be more attractive. But yeah, you know, of course, they first decided to do this with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, the current president being a speaker or part of it.
And yeah, let's see, and if I remember, yes, in the Bill Clinton one, Maya Angelou narrated it.
Mm-hmm.
And with George W. it was J.D. Hall.
Uh-huh.
And in the Barack Obama version, it was Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the narrator on the current one? Do they have a narrator?
They do, but like I said, I don't remember the name. It was someone from ABC, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to look that up.
Yeah, I don't know. I must have missed something there. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't see a current narrator. They do still have George Washington's voice, like they did in the Barack Obama version, by the same person.
Yeah.
And Abraham Lincoln.
But anyway, the show is, what, about 20 minutes long, I think? So, I mean...
25.
Yeah, wow, that's even longer than I thought. The cool thing and the historical thing is, you know, this is Walt's original vision for what turned out to be great moments with Ishtar Lincoln, but of course, in the early 60s, thinking they could do 36 figures, animatronic figures, was way beyond what the technology allowed. So by the time Disney World opened, they decided to go back to that. And I think it's cool that they did that, but, you know, for me to spend 25 minutes, I would just fall asleep at this point. Being a father of two small children, any time you're sitting in air conditioning at Disney for more than, I'd say, 10 minutes, I'm going to fall asleep. Just saying. If I'm in a comfortable chair, yeah, and it's quiet and dark and air conditioned, yeah. I just can't do it. I can't do more than that. So,
gotcha.
Sorry. Maybe when I'm older, I'll appreciate this attraction more. So
that's going to move us to the best attraction.
Indeed.
And Liberty Square, for sure. It's my personal current favorite in the Magic Kingdom Park in Florida. Yeah. And that being the Haunted Mansion. This is classic. It was one of those stories. It's an original story, for one thing, which is original attraction idea. Hint, hint, Disney, start using some of that.
Word.
Start coming up with some more of those. Not based, and by that I mean not based on any existing intellectual property, not based on any existing movie. It was all thought up.
Yeah,
in-house. Specifically for the park. So take a hint.
Indeed.
This one's one, it actually opened in Disneyland first, but it was only a couple years later because they planned on doing it, obviously, at Magic Kingdom anyway.
Yeah.
When they were building the one in Disneyland.
They were basically built at the same time.
Pretty much.
Right.
It's between, 6 to 8 minutes, somewhere in that range. This is one of Paul Frees's best and most well-known narrations as the ghost host. Of course, you also recognize him in a lot of the Pirates attraction as well.
And if you love the voiceover, I think it's out there on like YouTube. There's outtakes from his recording that are just as good. It's fun to listen to, so search that on YouTube. I think it's on YouTube for Haunted Mansion recording. It's really...
Yeah. At Magic Kingdom, there is a few extra, I guess, voiceovers that Paul Frees recorded, including the ghost host to accompany the extra scenes in the ride. Because of ample space within the park, the attraction show building is much larger and not restricted by any railroad beam.
Right.
Like it is in
Disneyland.
Yes, in Disneyland. It's also a little more of a complete of an attraction. Yeah. That's funny. I think we mentioned this before, but where Pirates is a more complete attraction in Disneyland, I think Haunted Mansion is a more complete attraction in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I would agree.
There are elements of Disneyland that I like. I like the actually walking into the front door.
I do, yeah. The foyer. I think that's the one part that I kind of don't like about the Disney World one is... You don't get a good enough view of the actual, like, facade of the house or the mansion because you kind of just go underneath it, so you don't really get a good view of it, especially in the queue line because you're covered, you know, it has to be covered because you're in Florida, but you're looking up and you can't get a great view of the mansion, and then you just go in the basement, essentially, and you don't get to see
it. Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they decided to do it this way. Maybe because it was made for a better facade, more picturesque, maybe a better one to take photos of this way. I do like the gothic theming, kind of, and the gothic style of this one.
Yeah, I do too.
The facade of this one compared to the one in Disneyland.
Yeah, it's more menacing looking. The one in Disneyland is more just like a New Orleans-style house. Plantation house or whatever you want to call it. Right. That's kind of the theme.
Which fits more within their surroundings.
It fits. It's just this one looks more like a haunted mansion. So it kind of fits better with the theme of haunted.
And for those who don't know and may have heard us say it in other episodes as well, but the stretching room in Disneyland's version, it actually acts as a elevator that takes you down to the show building.
Yeah.
Whereas in the one in Florida, the ceiling is literally being lifted just to continue that same effect without actually going anywhere. So kind of a neat little thing there.
And if you think about it, it's obvious what's happening because you go into the basement So to be going down even further would be kind of odd. So
yeah, I don't know what the decision was there, maybe to start the attraction all on the same level.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, you know, why it was done the way it was, but nonetheless, it still works.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, like, you know, because you have to go under that awning from further away to get a better view of the house, it's sitting on a hill, so maybe if it was at ground level, you wouldn't get some good pictures of it or good visual of it from other areas of the park, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's my all only... I
can think of, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I can think of either. You know, but it's one of those things, too, that I mean, if you're thinking about it, you're overthinking it, I should say. It's like we're entering... Probably. Like in a very odd place for the right. so-called front door.
Right.
But I mean, if whenever you think about it, you know, if you, most of the time we don't because we get lost in it, but you know, it doesn't make any sense in Tower of Terror for you to go behind yeah. a bookshelf and wind up in a boiler room.
That's a good point.
That should be down.
Yes. It yeah. should be in the bottom. Yeah, that's true.
Yes. So that doesn't make sense either. So.
Yeah. That should be a stretching room.
Yeah,
where it feels like you're going down.
So, anyway, that in large is Liberty Square, and I know I said at the beginning that we probably haven't. Not sure if we would take a lot of time on it, but I can tell we have taken quite a good bit of time. I think part of that, again, is like Haunted Mansion being what it is.
Yeah.
Real quick. I did say this. I feel like this was the more complete attraction. So there. Now let me kind of explain.
Yeah.
It has scenes. It has the most scenes between mm-hmm. the two. It kind of builds up a little bit at the beginning of this one, whereas the one in Disneyland, the very first scene you see is the hallway. You pretty much once you get on, you pass the knight there, the armor.
Yeah.
And there's the endless hallway. And the let me out of here guy
right.
on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much where it begins, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, it kind of builds a little more on the actual ride to me in the Haunted Mansion one. Now, again, it does take you through a similar scene to what you actually walk through in Disneyland. Right. I think that's the mm-hmm. difference. But I just feel like it's a more complete attraction for that. And they have the what used to be a... spiderweb scene,
yeah.
which they changed to the endless staircase.
Yes, which I like. I love the endless staircase room. It's cool effect.
And I believe there's differences in the attic, isn't there? If I recall, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think there's some small details. The only thing that Disneyland has that I like that I wish was in Disney World is the Hatbot's ghost. It's kind of cool. We don't have Hattie.
I was thinking they had it there now. Are you sure?
I don't think it's there now, but hopefully I didn't misspeak on that. But I don't think we have Hatbox Ghost in Disney World.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Because we definitely have the, you know, bride, the deadly bride, mm-hmm. we'll call her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, one thing Disney World does have, too, is the better ending with the Hitchhiking Ghost. Because they don't have the new...
Right, the new effects, yeah, still. Which I think are cool, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have those new effects in Disneyland currently.
Yeah.
So, I think so. Whereas, again, you know, another plus, I guess, maybe for the Disneyland side, if you're into this sort of thing, is the Haunted Mansion holiday makeover during Christmas time.
Yeah.
For the Nightmare Before Christmas, which I would actually kind of like to see that. So, maybe I'll have to plan a trip out there during that time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is cool. There's two random things that I wanted to mention about Liberty Square that I thought were cool for bundling up. One is that the theming is to try and keep true to the period, at least in the main area of Liberty Square. So there is no public restrooms in anywhere in the Liberty Square main area. You can, you know, the restaurants have bathrooms, of course, they need to, but there's no actual, like, bathroom for Liberty Square to keep to the period. And the other thing is, if you look down when you're walking through Liberty Square, you'll see the weird different color on the center of the street is like this, in the path is like a different color in the middle of the street, and that's to represent people emptying their chamber pots out of the windows and the sewage or excrement being gathered in the center of the road, which when I first, yeah, when I first heard that, I'm like, that can't be true. And I looked it up and it's true apparently. And, you know, I never even noticed the pathway that much until after I heard that and saw that. And now you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, it really does go through the middle of the streets. So it is.
It's like, oh, wow, it really does look like sewage. Oh, wait.
Well, it doesn't look like sewage, but that's what it's supposed to represent, what streets of a town in that time period would actually look like, apparently. There would be this big collection of stuff in the middle of the road.
Human so excrement.
Next time you're looking down, double check your shoe, bottom of your shoes, and make sure. Just to make sure.
All right.
So.
Well, all right then. I had no idea.
Yeah, the theming is definitely detailed at Disney, so pay attention to all the details.
Right down to the emptying of the chamber pots.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I was thinking, too, there's a bathroom. When you talked about the bathrooms, there's one really not too far from on either side.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep them close, but there's no bathroom in Liberty Square, not a public bathroom. If you're at Harbor House or Liberty Tree Tavern, of course, there are bathrooms there, but
I think they should consider putting a bathroom near the Haunted Mansion and have it be Haunted Mansion themed. That'd be pretty cool.
A haunted bathroom?
Yes, a haunted bathroom.
Okay. That would be breaking the theme of the area, though, I guess. That's why they didn't do that. They should have a Haunted Mansion restaurant. I believe we talked about this. That would be cool. Where just weird things would happen in the restaurant, like ghostly things.
Yeah, I think we may have mentioned that, and I think the big thing we said is the Haunted Mansion Hotel of some kind. That would have been the big one.
You could have chilled monkey brains.
Okay, now it's become an Indiana Jones thing.
Ooh, they need an Indiana Jones restaurant. Oh.
Yeah, so that's going to be over at
Disney Springs.
The new, whatever they're going to call Hollywood Studios now, because it's not a studios.
Cinemagine.
I believe that pretty much wraps up Liberty Square. What do you think?
I think so.
And there is nothing square about Liberty Square. Not that I can tell.
I don't think so. So see you around Liberty Square. Dad jokes.
Yes, so next time in this series, we're obviously going to continue going the left to right style that we've been doing. And it's going to be Fantasyland in the next section. Yeah. And Adam hosts that one.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are we going to need a two-parter for Fantasyland? And
it's a very good possibility.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Very good possibility.
Since we did an hour almost on Liberty Square.
Well, that's about what we've done on all of them, but we just found ways to stretch it pretty much.
Sure. Like the stretching room.
Oh, we're connecting all sorts of dots.
Find a way out of this episode. That's a chilling challenge.
Yes, very much so. So we need to find our way out. Indeed. And remember that you can find us on social media on Facebook at TWTM Podcast, Twitter at TWTM Podcast, and Instagram at TWTM Podcast. And Adam, take away the parts that you have that you remember well.
Great. Visit us on the web, travelingwiththemouse.com. Email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. Visit us on our Spreadshirt store and get some Traveling with the Mouse merchandise. It'll help us out as well. And you can spread the word. Currently, as of right now, February 9th, for two more days, there is free shipping with the coupon code SHIP18, SHIP18, and you will get free shipping on your order. Do that now. You can also Patreon us, patreon.com/TWTMPodcast, and become a donor and receive extra content monthly or regularly whenever we put extra content on. Please.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So, for Adam Brown, this is John Martin, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we will see you on our next trip.